This is a continuation of December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Duncan and Dana Camacho. Petition 19010301 for account number 18778504. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Duncan Camacho in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing with the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. Mm-hmm. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. Oh, I've never seen that picture before.
Oh, you hadn't? We'll go back to it.
Oh. Okay.
Don't look too hard. You'll see all the junk they stored underneath your house.
Yeah, I'm sure. I've heard some stories about the person who built our house. So.
Sorry.
So a lot of what I submitted in my written portion, I really think it's like a Word doc that I submitted. Hopefully that kind of covered most of what I was trying to say here. I did have a conversation after I submitted. I had left a voicemail with the assessor's office, and because in my last paragraph there, in their assessors, they talked about that the value of improvements, and I called to ask, like, where does that come from? I didn't know if you guys knew at the time. I submitted, that's why I wrote it in there, because this is all of a sudden, you know, an additional value they added.
For what?
I think you're talking about how many fixtures you have in the fire.
Yeah, well, I didn't know what that really meant, so that's why.
Each of them the value when they're assessing your home. I don't think that means that it's new improvements. I don't have that other sheet with me, but
they're talking sheet when they're coming up with values. It will give a description of the house, like if they classify it a whatever average 9 or whatever.
Yeah,
but that description will say to meet that description you would have so many plumbing fixtures.
Mm-hmm.
So they would count up, then you count the plumbing fixtures, you know, each toilet, each bathtub, you know. And so they're giving you evidently have $11,000 worth of plumbing fixtures greater than.
So does that mean in every year they assess the house in that assessor's card that improvement's value is constant and never changes?
Right. Theoretically,
it'll change.
Okay. Unless you have a permit that shows that you add an addition or a modification to your house.
Okay. So I really have to like look at a series of assessor cards to see if that was a change in value, if it was a true change. Okay.
They would change only because it's a cost-based thing. So, you know, when the house was built, the chart said it was $10,000 for the fixtures, but because the cost of everything goes up, now it might be $12,000. So, yeah, there will be.
Okay, so there can be fluctuations. Okay.
Right.
That sounds like, I didn't have, I've changed, you know, there's no improvements to the house, you know.
Did you ever get a call back on your message that
Because I had left, the other one I left was about the, at the same time, so the answer to your question is yes. I also left another message, and then they called me back about the other one first, and then I asked, like, oh yeah, I forgot you called, kind of thing. Was the last year when I had appealed in the hearing, it was written where a value that was the value that was actually approved was trending it forward by a 2017 countywide 10.2% yields the value of the new value of the house. Mm-hmm. And so then I didn't know how that value came about, and the assessor said that was not their value per se. So it was kind of like a combination of different values, but I really didn't get a whole thorough.
That 10.2% was determined by the county assessor.
So it was an assessor figure.
It was an assessor figure.
Okay.
And that there's a study out that they do every year, and we can show it to you. The study is done by them, and it says that the value overall for Clark County went up by 10.2%. That's overall.
Gotcha.
One area may have gone up 2%, one area may have gone up 12%.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
Countywide average. Okay. And so I'm mostly, you know, I know without trying to reiterate too much and not say anything you guys always hear, but I think my biggest stance from the appeal, it really is, you know, the assessor specifically states my property is difficult to assess. Off the bat, is making it, okay, so if it's difficult to assess, they're trying to come up with areas and how they're going to do it. But they picked, you know, on my hill, I submitted a picture of my driveway. The hillside for behind the house was not graded more than my neighbors both have theirs pushed back further. The house that they used in the comparison in the Ashley Heights neighborhood, which, you know, some newer developments in the higher priced area, it's in a cul-de-sac. If the whole neighborhood, it was like neighborhood 184, is such a big, you know, they can use any parts of that neighborhood, but they kind of chose two specific houses that were, I know they're trying to go with like square footage and everything, but there are, I mean, if the assessor says it's difficult to assess, and the values that I submitted were at least, I know they weren't as all as equal square footages and everything else, but the lot size were similar, but people within a quarter of a mile of my house who have all bought and sold, you know, January 1 of last year, in that time frame, would dictate a value of it, you know, I know not of the neighborhood as a whole, but at least if someone up the street from me sold their house for $522, I forget what it was, how can I list, you know, might I list my house for $750? Because, or, well, I don't know what the new value was here.
Six weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a significant larger value. I know you guys don't use listing values or anything like that, but I mean, if it's saying it's people that have just recently bought and sold and my new assessed value are nowhere near each other, how can that possibly be the true assessed value of the property?
I wanted to give you just one comment for next year.
Mm-hmm.
On here you just listed these four properties, but you really don't have any detail, but if you use this worksheet that we include in packet, this is the information on your house right here, and then you put your comps here, and you can compare square footage, number of bedrooms, you know, everything, and it's much more comprehensive, and it's a lot easier for us. Because otherwise, this is all I had when I was looking at these at home.
Gotcha.
And then what they gave, but it would have been nice to.
I thought that's what
detail.
Like a spreadsheet came out of that. I didn't realize that was
No, that's just, that is with your packet online, or you can pick it up here too. That'll just be helpful for next year.
Okay.
I mean, if you look at the assessor sheet, and they put three of your comps. I don't know why they left one of them off. Is one of them out of date?
I believe he used one of the sales.
Oh, you only had three. Sorry.
Oh.
No, he had four.
I think one of the sales.
Oh yeah.
Sale number three on his is one of the four I submitted.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So anyway, I mean they. He has the assessors put the square foot per square foot value on there, and yours is the second lowest of all of them on there. The way you're assessed at $161 a square foot, and there's only one, which is sale three, is at $152 a square foot. The rest are all greater than the $161. Mm-hmm. Per square foot. That's one of the measures we look at, because that's the only way you can compare a house that may be 500 square feet larger or smaller than yours, is just take it on a per square foot basis and compare to yours, then it makes more sense. The only difference I can see in the properties is that they were all at $139.7 for the land, and yours is at $149.7, and I'm not sure why yours got $10,000 more.
Gotcha. So, I mean, I understand. And so for sale one and two, and that's kind of where my point was, that even though, mine is lower than what theirs is, but the value of, is it truly just the assessed price versus square footage that house divided?
That 188.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Well, it's not the assessed value; it's the sale price. Adjusted sale price.
Okay. So that's that first line. Then, adjusted sale price.
I don't know what they mean by location adjusted.
Yeah.
Because that one sale number three has a $10,000 boost to it.
Actually, they all sales do.
Oh, they do, yeah.
That's why I thought like a location adjusted price was like what their new assessed value or something they applied. I didn't know what that was.
I don't know why they would do that. It may be, and the only thing I can say is that they may have boosted it by $10,000 because your land value is $10,000 higher than the rest of them.
I can see there Northwest 51st or 53rd is considerably different than 33rd Avenue Northwest. You'd be going further west. That would put it more to the Ashley Heights.
Mm-hmm.
That.
Yeah, those two, the sale one and two were, yeah, they were other side of Lakeshore, in Ashley Heights.
Yeah.
Sale three and then my three comps were all.
You're on the east side of Lakeshore, aren't you?
Correct.
Yeah. So that's probably what the neighborhood adjustment, I'll guess, that's what the neighborhood adjustment is.
Okay. So, I know a lot of it is, hard to argue price per square foot. But I just, when comps and, my immediate neighborhood, it's just like, it's such a large value to, if I went to list my house at 626, like, when everything else was like a quarter mile from me, it all sold 540 or less, I have a hard time justifying that value. I know that, like I said, these other houses, and then, like I said, I have, in comparison, I don't feel like I'm just trying to like make my house sound bad, but I mean, there are disadvantages. I mean, the driveway really is the worst part of the house. I don't park in the driveway, so I don't really, it's not as big of a deal to me personally, but, no one else, if you Google Street View, you can look up and down that hill, and no one has a driveway like my house. So, and then obviously, in just comparison to the neighbors, who are along the hillside, I don't know why, but their hillside got graded, plowed, pushed, however you want to, terminology is. I mean, theirs were pushed back further, so they, they have more room. That's why they all have waterfalls and stuff on each side.
Okay, I don't have any other questions.
I think we got it.
Okay.
What was the value?
522, I believe. Oh, sorry, hold on.
567? Well, 567, 530.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. This is a continuation. December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Russell and Susan Chambers, petition 19006101 for account 960850000. There's no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Russell Chambers in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I swear, yeah.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office. We're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. within 30 days after this hearing, you get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
I think I tried to explain it fairly well in my letter.
Okay.
The initial problem was a pretty significant shock of 56% increase, generally overall. And it's not like we haven't had a little increase every year, but primarily the lot in question is attached to my residence lot on the back. If you look at the one directly below it, that's where I live.
Okay.
And then the lot that we're talking about is that one. And
do you have structures on that?
I have a shop, mm-hmm. and a garden, and it's essentially my backyard. Okay. There's a shop up there, and you know, I'm looking at that and saying, and the assessor has valued that piece of property on a square foot basis to be exactly the same as the one in front. And I'm presuming because the assessor believes it's a buildable lot. Since I have no clue how they go about their assessment, and I'm saying, you know what? It's not a buildable lot in reality. It has no access. If a person were to buy it from me, they would have to get an easement, and there's no room for a legal easement. People on the east of me have got so many buildings on their place that they're there's no room for a legal easement, and if people on the west of me, I suppose it's possible a person could buy it and attach it and build a lot. And that's, you know, that's my argument is that how do we assess a landlocked piece of property that has no sewer? And as I put forth in here, I looked at the overall area, neighborhood, digging around through the Property Information Center and GIS, and there are lots that are much more buildable that are valued at less than mine.
So you don't think if you sold your home, you'd get an extra $77,000 because you...
Because of that big lot back there?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. That's, a person might... Just because there's a lot back there, I don't think a person is willing to pay an additional $75,000 plus for that lot. And it just seems somewhat arbitrary, and like there is no real study on how much land is worth. They just pick a piece and say and plunk it down, and there it is. And I just don't believe the value of that property is in that, in the same range as the property that has street frontage. I guess, I don't know what more to say.
So on here, do these lots on either side, do they have a house on them? Or
yes. Okay, the lot on the left side has a house and a shop. The lot on the right side has a house and a shop.
And
they also have street frontage and they have sewer. This one on the left has a sewer line that drops down that little easement, or right here. You know, this is their driveway to get back to this lot. And they've got a sewer running down there. Sewer stops at this place. I don't have sewer.
Okay.
So there's houses here, house here, house here, of course, house here, my house. And just doesn't feel, it's one of those things that struck me is just from a it makes sense standpoint, didn't make sense. Not to mention, you're in there doing the same calculations I did. I probably tried not to put stuff that was valued higher than mine in there, to help my argument. But you guys are as smarter than I am. But
so I'm just saying, your 75-foot lot,
yeah.
cannot get a, you could not put an easement or something along there to make that back?
Basically, between my house, it's located on that lot, and I think I have a picture.
You do, and I brought up the picture.
Yeah, right there. Between my house and the property to the east is 12 feet to the property line. There's no way that anybody's going to allow an easement on a 12-foot wide strip of property. On the other side, where my garage is, it's a semi, before it was added on, it was a detached garage, there's a 5-foot. So,
is this a driveway down here at the bottom of the street?
That's a driveway into my garage. Mm-hmm. And on the left or the right side is the driveway back to my shop.
Okay, but that's only a.
That's a 12-foot wide, 12-foot from the house, 12 feet from the edge of the house to the property line.
And what about on the other side?
On the other side here,
yeah.
That's probably from the edge of the house. I didn't measure it. It's probably, well, the garage is 16 feet wide, so 16. So it's about 20 feet. On that side.
So that one may be qualified.
It may be qualified if you tore down the garage.
If you tore down the garage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so
I guess a little confused. Your property is valued. I'm going to assume that's the value. That lot's valued at
$77,613.
What was it last
year? Last year it was $53,923.
That's why I looked at it. It's like,
boom!
This hurts.
Big jump.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the assessor's information, and they have a value put on it at $69,433. I don't know where that comes from.
That's the actual 65. Where am I? That's the wrong one.
The picture. Picture. Did the assessor?
I would just look. I was just looking at the property information.
$69,433, and then the building on it is $8,100. It brings the total to $77,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm purely talking dirt.
Yes, I got you. Okay.
No improvements, just pure dirt.
Have you peeled before? Is this the first time
you've peeled? No, it's the first time I've appealed. I live here, I pay my duty to pay my taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Just every once in a while, there are things that I look at that just don't make sense to me. And I've got to ask the question.
Last year they had it at 53.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty successful
increase. It is. It is a significant increase. I can't afford it. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. I don't have any more questions.
They said here that they've assessed it as one property and then allocated it back to each individual one.
I didn't see that.
But even at that seems.
Well, it's.
I look at these
two on the one side. Mm-hmm. They're at 958 a square foot.
Yep.
And your property is 729 a square foot, the whole thing.
Right. One of the issues that I have with it is that it's, and again, I'm not protesting the front at all. It is what it is. But the fact that I'm not even hooked up to sewer is, these guys.
Are these
all the
way
around me.
Sewer?
They're on sewer. All of these guys are on sewer.
These are all on sewer?
Yep.
And there's no sewer in the street?
There's no sewer in front of it. The sewer stops about here.
So you'd have to bring it all the way.
I'd have to bring it all the way across. And that's, I don't know if you've ever dug in the Washougal Bottoms.
Rock.
You get down a foot, and we're talking not just rock. We're talking Volkswagen-sized rocks.
Wow.
And it is horrible. But that's, again, that's not where I'm. I can't argue that. It is what it is. I do have to disagree with, the one that I talked about farther down the road, which is probably less than mine with more property.
I think I've got it. I think I have an understanding for it.
Okay, I got it.
Yep.
I hope I made sense. I struggled with it, to be real honest with you, and say, is this worth my time? Well, yeah, it's more just a say.
Never hurts to ask.
Say my piece.
That's right.
That's right. Never hurts to ask.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the time out of your life.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for coming. This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Stephen and Lori Costello. This is petition number 19005201 for account number 986032613. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Board members present this morning are Lisa Bodner, John Marks, and Chairman Daniel Weaver. First case before the board this morning is property owned by Fred Ellich and Mark Poe. Petition number 19003101 for account number 986032588. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We do have Fred Ellich in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to remind you, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he does not make a decision. Okay. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
So last year, I was able to lower my assessed value to $911,000. And when I got the notice of value from the Clark County, it said $958,000 starting value, and then their new price of $1,028,000.
The question is, what did you pay taxes on last year?
9/11.
Okay.
So I called them and I pointed that out, and they said, "Too bad, we already had this input, this new value, so we're not going to lower you to 9/11 from the start point." So, had they been 958 up to $1,028,000, and they're valuing me at $207 a square foot, that would have been a 7.36% increase in our tax assessed value. But when in reality, I was at 911,282, upping me to $1,028,000 is a 12.9% increase in the valuation. And that to me seems patently unfair. And when I called them to point out that they were using a start value of 958 and not the 911, the gal that I spoke to, and they put me through to one of the assessors, said, "Too bad, we've already had these printed up, so you start at 958, and then we raise you."
Well, so, let me just clarify one thing. They don't really start at that number. They take the characteristics of your property and put it into their model.
Yeah.
And that model then produces a number, and that's not based on what it was the prior year. I mean, your property could go down actually based on the model. And the model is built by sales of like properties put into this model and develops a model so that when your parameters are put in there, it just cranks out a model.
What I'm showing, though, is that the previous value here.
No, I understand that. But they don't use that. That's not part of their model.
I get it. Okay.
So it doesn't matter if it was a dollar last year.
Okay.
Whatever their model produces is what number they give you.
All right. Okay. So it was quite an increase. Either way they did it, 7.5 versus 12.9. So they did. This is the first time in, I think, 4 years that they actually gave me a response. They refused to give me the scatter plot again when I also asked the gal for the scatter plot. But they're using three comps. A neighbor, three-bedroom, a six-bedroom home, and a four-bedroom home. Well, of course, I want them to use the middle one because that's $139.50 a square foot. They had their hands full trying to find comps, as did Fidelity Title, who looked for me. But they're saying in their answer to my petition, gee, we want to use the first comp, and who cares about the other two comps? And, of course, I don't want to use that comp, and it's really not a comp, in my opinion, being a three-bedroom and 700 square feet smaller home. Those smaller homes tend to sell for more.
Now, which one are you talking about? Their comp?
Yeah, what? They gave three comps. And in their written comments...
They go more by square footage. They don't look a lot at the number of bedrooms, really, at all, but they do go by square footage, just so you know. You can
right.
have six bedrooms and still have the same square footage, and that's what they're going to compare.
Yeah.
That's the closest one to you in square footage.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that that one is valued, yours is valued very good plus, and that one is too. The others are just good plus.
Mm-hmm. But that it shows you how hard it is to find a comp in that area
right.
when they're using that. So you've probably seen these magazines, Flight of Fine Living, and every month there's a guy that, his name's Travis Newton, that puts out a list of everything for sale in Flight of, which is Area 41, and what they're going for. And if you look at the list, everything that's selling tends to be under 750 and tends to be 2,000, 3,000 square feet. So in the larger homes, I went on Zillow at 2915 Northwest 131st. There's a 5,938 square foot home, five bedroom, six bath. It's been on the market now 373 days as of Friday. It's gone through a couple different price drops. Started out on May 17th of 16 at $1,250,000, and they're down to $1,145,000. At 5113 Northwest 143rd, that's 3 miles from my property, 4,572 square foot home. They started on 9/11 of 18. At $1,275,000, several price drops. They're down to $1,125,000. That's 444 days on the market. And the final one, which is 3.3 miles from me, at 14515 Northwest 51st Court, is 8,800 square feet. They started at $1,935,000 on February of 19. And they're down to $1,795,000, 275 days on the market. So these larger homes tend not to sell as quickly or at the price you might want to receive. My response to you, I think, do you have copies?
Yes.
So I think this is a really important little piece from Fidelity, and I think I put it in there. They searched 4,500 to 5,500 square feet.
What does that look like?
It's this little spreadsheet. And 1 acre or less, no view, four bedrooms. They went down as low as 600,000 up to 1,500,000. They used a 4 mile search radius, and there were only four homes.
Should be right after that, Dan.
This?
Turn one more page.
There you go.
So Fidelity was at least able to come up with comps that were similar size and four bedrooms, and there were only four. The tax assessor, of course, had their hands full because they showed you three that are, I think, pretty different from what Fidelity showed. And you can see that I put a little comp on the top of each one showing the price per square foot of what Fidelity was able to come up with. And this was August.
What's the little comp? Is it on the corner of one of these?
Yeah, it should be on the front of each little section. So on this comp, this is comp number one.
I see. There's like the same houses.
At 151 a square foot, and mine says subject property.
Oh.
So they should be in order, how they're laid out.
So, because these are all showing sales that are that happened, you know, 2002.
No. Starting with comp one is sold in 2019.
Well, okay. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong thing. Unless
the top date in
comp
sales three, history.
Comp 3 says sale date. Oh, okay. I see that.
Comp 3 was...
I was looking more at...
November of 18.
I looked more at this page that you did. This is kind of where I focused on.
Okay. So those are the comps Fidelity pulled. Then I talked to Andy Costello, who's a realtor with Realty One, and I said, Andy, you know, I got this response from the assessor, and there's three very different comps, and they're saying, well, just for the sake of argument, let's go with the most expensive. What can you tell me about Phillida, which is Area 51? So she ran the report. You have a copy of the report, this little busy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see that between 3 to 399, they sold a total of 11 properties. In the 400 to 499 range, 8 properties. 500 to 750. Two properties, and the rest are a bunch of zeros. So you can get a real sense of what Phillida sells for. And that median price from August of 18 to August of 19 actually fell. And the assessor has jacked everybody's assessments up across the board pretty dramatically, including our neighbors, the Nishes, who will also be coming in to appeal, Marty and Karen. So 2018 to 2019, August, we have a median price fall from 382 to 356. The average price, 378 down to 374. Not much change, but definitely downward. I asked Andy why she ran the August reports, and she said, well, because we talked in September, Fred, and that was the month-end report. So I asked her, well, would you go back to January, because these are January dates for assessment, and she did. So I'll just tell you verbally, January of 2018,
We don't have that page.
You don't, so I'm giving it to you verbally because she ran this after I turned in my information. The average price, January of 18, for those homes that were sold in Phillida was $406,950, the average. And the average price in January of 19 was $401,889. So we got a $5,000 drop in the value of the home sold 1 year later, January. So I just don't know how the assessor can keep a straight face.
Where is this property located that they use as the comp?
The next door. It's the next door neighbor, Kevin Sepala. And I have my suspicions of how Nathan Cano got that price. So Kevin had two tax liens on him.
Why doesn't that show up in her data?
Well, maybe because the month that it's sold.
October of 18.
This is just a month report. This is not a year.
That's a monthly. Yeah.
Okay.
Got it. Okay. Kevin owns Manor Homes, and he had two tax liens. And of course, Nathan Khanna loves to represent builders. He represented our entire subdivision. He's represented entire subdivisions out in Ridgefield. So Kevin has two tax liens with Clark County. He had two liens placed on him by the HOA. He had to sell and get out of Dodge. He falls into the arms of Nathan, who had sold him that lot. That happened to be the last lot in the neighborhood that Nathan had kept for his mom and dad. And I think Nathan was going after Manor Homes' account to get the sale. So he did Kevin a favor, and he sold to a client he was representing on the sale of their home. They sell all the benefit plans to Clark County, to school districts for insurance and disability, etc. And he got a very nice sale for Kevin.
So you're saying he sold it to somebody else? Somebody
he was representing. So he had their home, and he said, I've got a great home for you, and here we go.
So, but it was sold to another individual, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not to
yeah.
organization.
Yeah, so he took care of Kevin pretty nicely.
Pull up that excise tax return, would you?
On which one?
It's on 9860325870.
So you're thinking your place should be at like $911,000?
I think we could sell at that. I think if we pushed it up at $1 million, I'm not sure it would sell. That,
I think it's...
Or very quickly.
395, that one.
Yeah, that's Jody and Debbie. She sells all the benefit plans to school districts. And it was owned by Kevin Sepala, who's one of the owners at Manor Homes. And our neighbor right behind Kevin, Dan,
and who is this sold by? Just another individual?
Well, Nathan Khanna, the realtor. So his mom and dad owned the last lot in the subdivision.
Now, who owns the property now? Who bought the property?
The Bradens.
And
you don't know if they have a relationship with anybody? Okay.
No. And Kevin had an $800,000 assessment or appraisal on that home because he's trying to refi it. And he got a million whatever he got from the Bradens. $1,150,000. So Nathan did a good job for his client.
I don't have any more questions. I think I understand it.
Okay. So,
yeah, I only have one other question yet. The last sale that you had, or the third sale that you showed at 140, what is it, 146? Mm-hmm. 140 Northwest 52nd Court, that you had as a comparable?
Mm-hmm.
It sold at 975, I think it is?
Yep.
How did you, how do you think that one really actually compares to yours?
Where is it? I gotta find
right
it.
Right here, appellant comp 3.
Yeah, it was the last one that the
oh, the
one you submitted.
Yeah.
And I used it also.
Yeah, I think you did.
Well, I don't know about it.
Yeah, it's your comp number 4.
And they didn't use it.
Yeah, and I think that's a very nice looking home.
Mm-hmm.
Slightly larger, 5,096 square feet versus I think we're 4,970. I think it's on a bigger lot.
Mm-hmm. You're at 4,690, so you're 300 square feet or so smaller.
I don't know why they don't think that's a good comp.
You know, it's got some little differences. It's also older than yours.
I don't know about that. Is the property larger?
It is a very good plus, which is what yours is rated.
Okay.
It says none of the appellant's comparable sales are in the same assessor neighborhood as the subject property, which...
Well, yes, they're on an acre and you're on 10,000.
Yeah, and which address is that?
It's the one on
146?
Yeah,
146-00.
That home is 2.02 miles from our property. So how can the assessor keep a straight face and
that's
say,
your,
well...
That's your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's saying that it's not in the same neighborhood in his comments.
They have. That's...
Well, you're in neighborhood 136, that's in 184. I don't have any
In Erickson Farms, and he's out somewhere else.
2 miles
if
away.
If they use that comp, it would be a great comp.
Right.
But if you used it, then it's out of the neighborhood.
Okay. Okay. I'm good, I think.
Mm-hmm. I don't have any more questions.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Probably see you next year.
This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Marvin Entis. This is petition 181-50207 for account number 920-06880. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Marvin Entis in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth and a penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2018. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has the same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. So unless you have questions...
So he's presumed to be right.
Correct. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. I bought the property in 2017. It was for sale by owner. And at the time, I had just sold my house, so I was really anxious to buy another place, and I...
Could you put up the account information? Go ahead.
And I went to see the guy and was looking at the house, and there was another couple there, and I was worried that it was going to go, so I just offered him full price, which was $340. I left Multnomah County because of the very thing that's going on here. They were running rampant with their taxes. And the politics there were just more decadent. They raised the rate of my property about $67,000 from the previous year to 2018, which seems a little ludicrous for what it was. You know, we're talking about a 1,330 square foot house on a postage stamp lot that backs up. They say they back up to a green space, but 20 feet.
How much did you say it increased?
Huh? About $67,000.
From the purchase price?
Oh, no. From what it was evaluated previously.
Oh.
Before you bought it?
I'm sorry. Huh?
Before you bought it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Go ahead. That was the assessor's evaluation. So that's what triggered me to look into this. So I went to, we have resident real estate people there, and I went to them and asked them to run comps for me. And unfortunately, there was only two or three in the previous year that they could come up with, which I think I submitted to these people. And that, when I averaged that out, it looked like it should be more like $320,000 value than what the assessor came up with.
Did you get anything at all from the assessor?
I beg your pardon?
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm pulling it in my hand. I already answered my own question.
Yeah, the assessor said, well, I don't back up to the apartment, but I can tell you that 20 feet adjacent to my corner, the second floor looks right into my house. And we've had some, through the years, because the big complex of apartments is there, we've had, well, they broke into my garage. They took some stuff off my patio and on my neighbor's patio. So the areas, I have a hard time understanding how they upgrade the value, but then that's just my opinion. And as I said, the comps were selected by the local real estate people.
You're on the outside side of Fairway Village, right? You're on the west side? On the west side of the street? You're not on the golf course side?
No. I'm not on a green space. And I almost get the feeling that they've taken an average of a lot of houses. I don't know how they evaluate. I also have a meeting set up with you guys, I think, in January of the next year, because I was a little concerned that the state voted a 4% reduction and the county assessor wound up coming up with a number higher than the reduction.
The value, I don't think they changed the value. The state voted the change in the millage rate, not the assessed value.
I understood that the 4% was going to reduce our taxes.
Right, the tax millage rate. So if it's not the tax value. This is valuation of your property.
Okay.
Then they apply a millage rate to that to get your taxes, okay. And that millage rate would have gone down because of the McCleary decision.
But it didn't. It didn't. It went up.
It should have.
It went up.
Yeah.
That's a separate issue.
Right.
And I don't know. To be honest with you, I have a feeling that something is not right there, and I don't know who to talk to about that. We had a senator come talk to us and laud his efforts in putting a bill through, and then next thing I know, well, we didn't see a dime.
What was your value last year? There's no property tax.
Let's see, we'd have to look at 17.
That's the one he said was up 67%. Yeah.
268 to 283.
283, and then it went up to 343.
And you paid 340 for it, you said, right?
Huh?
You paid $340,000.
Yeah, I did. That was a full price offer.
Yeah.
But
as
I said, at 18.
I was backed up against the wall. I had my house sold. I had to do something. And I figured,
I went up from 283 to
349.
That's where you got the 67,000.
Yeah.
Is that rough? I'm trying to remember. I thought it was around 67,000.
Right, close to that.
So, okay. And then this past ranking, they dropped the value of the structure, but they increased the value of the land. I don't understand.
We don't understand it either. We look at total value.
So at any rate, that's why I'm here. And, it is what it is. I understand that it may be on deaf ears, but I try and...
It's not on deaf ears. It's just a matter of what we can do.
I understand.
Okay, I think we have it.
Is there a federal agency that oversees this kind of effort?
Our effort?
State agency.
They theoretically have an oversight by the Department of Revenue in the state of Washington. Yeah.
Well, that's the state of Washington.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
I was looking more from a federal state.
I don't think there's anything. No, it's all state mandated. That's in the Department of Revenue is in Olympia, and the partner and they are oversight over us too. We have no local authority over us here in Clark County. It's all oversight, but from
my
Olympia.
Concern is not with you people. My concern is with the county.
That's our concern too.
I understand he has a job to do, but he's chasing us seniors.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, folks. And when might I know?
Within 30 days.
30 days. You have a great day.
Great. You too.
Thank you. I'll close it.
continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board, we have several late file requests. A request for reconvene is for Ryan Knott and Heidi Knott. This is parcel 118254734. They did not receive their notice of value.
Okay.
And next is a request for reconvene from Timothy Thomas. Tax parcel 172956004. Same thing, he recently purchased the property in May and he did not receive the notice of value. It went to the previous owner.
Okay.
Okay. Next is a good cause request for Jason and Sayo Tanny. Tax parcel 92009820. We kindly request the late filing good cause waiver. We did not receive the notice of value. Sale of our property occurred on June 19th, which after the prior owner would have received the notice of value. Therefore, it was not possible for us to file a petition.
Okay.
And good cause request for Michael Schaefer. This is tax parcel 12428800. His grandmother passed away. He was busy with related matters, attending the funeral, and so on, which delayed his filing.
You got the tape on. Oh, you do have the tape.
Yeah, the tape's on. Is that okay?
Yeah.
That's a valid reason. Okay, and last we have a request for reconvene for John Prutzman. This is for tax parcel 143712000. He purchased the property for less than 90% in September of 2019.
Okay.
And that's it. Thank you. This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board is property owned by Christian and Sarah Mulholland. Petition 19005401 for account number 98603787 2. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one's present for either party, we'll make a decision based on information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close here.
This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned by Scott and Celestial Sanderson. Petition 19006001 for account 130115030. There is no one in attendance for either party.
Since no one is present for either party, we'll make a decision based on the information available. Any questions?
No questions.
Close the hearing.
This is the continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. Before the board at this point is property owned, is it Jorge?
Jorge
Samal and Marquita Samal. Petition number 19003501 for account 920108848. There is no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We do have Jorge Samal in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury? Thank you. Just to remind you, you've been in before, right?
Yes, right here.
Remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind, the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. You have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Okay.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay. So the property, my house was assessed $472,000. And I based on the comparables and the information that I gathered, I don't think it should be higher than $450,000. That's essentially my proposal. My request is to be reassessed as at $450,000. I compiled the list of similar properties, comparable properties sold in 2019 in the area. I came up with nine or ten houses. They're all within half a mile. There are two that are particularly relevant. They are actually three or four houses away from mine. The one on Southeast 184th Court is the exact same floor plan as mine. That's all.
So the first one on your list there?
Yeah, 3705 Southeast 184th. That is the same, the exact same floor plan. Orientation, actual, the lot size is also the same. And that one sold in February for $447,000. And then there is another one on 182nd Court, is the third from the bottom. That is actually larger. It sold for $445,000. It's also three houses away from mine. The rest are also, I mean, well, within a quarter of a mile. Only two sold for slightly more than $450,000, and they're also a little larger than mine. Are 25 and 2600 square feet. All these sold between February and September of this year, and this kind of all that I found, there's really I really don't know how like 470s could be. I don't know what comparables or in that area. There's really no houses any more than.
Did you get this from the assessors? A letter from them?
I got a letter from them. Yes.
Yeah. With their comparables on it.
Right. So those three. So exactly, the first two, so one sold for 400, the other one both for 400, 399, 900, and then the sale three, that is significantly larger. The lot is much larger actually, and that one sold for a lot more. That is you know, different area also is quite farther away from that house. Not sure why. The first two, I guess I would consider them comparable, right? The third one, I wouldn't. But it's also from early 18, I believe.
I don't have any more questions. That's good evidence.
You okay?
I'm okay.
Okay. I think we got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Of course.
This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by John Strong Jr., petition 19005501 for account number 861-32036. There's no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We do have John Strom in attendance. Will you please raise your right hand to be sworn in?
Do you swear or affirm the testimony given in this hearing to be the truth under penalty for perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Just to let you know, we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Mm-hmm. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome. And you have 30 days from that point to appeal to the state. And the assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision.
Great.
So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, first of all, I have about 3 points I want to make, which will take me about 5 minutes, so I can bore you all with my 5 minutes of testimony. I can hopefully cut this short. The first point I would like to make, and I apologize for if things weren't in order, this notice of final decision on Ivy Glen and our project at Meadow Ridge.
Is that in here?
It should be. I apologize. I should have put it. Essentially, midway down there under Condition 3, the Homeowners Association will be combined and required to maintain private roads and storm runoff. Essentially, all of our roads are private. The county or the city has absolutely, if we bust a sewer line, if our pavement needs to be repaved, we have to pay for it. And that's a substantial cost to the property owners. The second point I wanted to make is, I'll call it Exhibit B, it's the 20-lot subdivision here that I drew a map for you. All of these properties have an aggregate value based on the assessor of $1.917 million, almost $2 million. 17 of the 20 properties are $105,000, with one exception, that's $126,000 for a big lot. Should be, I think where your hand is on the bottom down there, the map.
Right here?
Right there. Interestingly, three properties maintain their value. One is a lady that sits on the City of Camas board. One is the builder's parents, and then my neighbor next door to me, who is poor. But regardless, the assessor has the requirement that they must assess all property at fair market value. And so I'm pointing this out only, and previously my property was at about 35,000, I think it was 34 and change. So all of a sudden they almost tripled. The final point I wanted to make is this map here, which is just three properties. And by the way, my property, my little tiny 3,000 plus square foot, is assessed at just over $32 a square foot. And I would venture, or I would say, this is R18 land, I believe. And as such, it should really be assessed at apartment land prices for what typically would be apartment land, which would be about $30,000 to
$35,000
per unit.
Is this the map you're looking at, or is it another
one? This one here. It's got the three properties up on top of Pruin Hill.
Anyway, don't wait for me. Go.
Oh, okay. So has everybody found it? I apologize.
This
I
is the one, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Probably at the end. I probably got those in.
It's just... about a third of the way in.
Well, then I've maybe gone too far in.
It's back about two pages.
It was meant to be the last whatever.
Next year, remember your pages. That makes it a lot easier.
Oh, okay. I apologize. I had mine all in order.
Well, I'll just look at his. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, you can look at mine.
No, that's fine. You, go ahead. Oh. I'll look at Dan's. There you go.
Yes. I don't know how many of you have been up there, but I used to live up there. The corner lot on Columbia Summit and Hood is a double lot. It was actually platted as two different lots, but the owner and the county agreed they made it one lot. Stunningly beautiful view. I do want you to see these photographs still, because that does...
Oh, I saw the pictures at the end.
Unobstructed view. The bigger lot is a double lot, like I mentioned, and it's assessed at $6.49 a square foot. Keeping in mind, mine's $32. Right across the street from that is... this is a double lot here. Right across the street is a single lot. And as a matter of fact, I tried to buy it. I tried to buy both of them. $17 a foot. They're both vacant. They're both proximate to one another. But even the $17 a square foot makes mine, you know, I mean, I have zero lot line. I got a neighbor right through this wall, a neighbor right through this wall. Nobody in their right mind would ever pay $105,000 for a lot, an interior lot that's 23 feet wide. And then the finest of them all is at the end of the cul-de-sac here, and they have a spectacular view, but anyway, it's $9.17. My point is, my land is over assessed. It should be assessed. The zone is R18, pretty sure. And yet I'm assessed at $32 a square foot.
Up there. Go back to the property.
Oh, I didn't realize you had that.
Go back to the account. Yeah, it's R18.
And again, this is just my opinion, and obviously the county has a different opinion. But R18 land should all be treated as apartment land. That's what it is. It's very, you know, whether I own one lot and you own the next lot to me and somebody else owns the other side. The fact is, it's very dense living, $32 a square foot compared to what I would call very lovely living of $6.49. So I'm over four times, almost five
Those are
times.
Vacant lots now.
Two are vacant, one's built on. Here's the one that's built on is.
But there are 18?
No. They're a different zone. There are 12, I think, aren't they? There are 12.
So are your neighbors in your development, are they all assessed at 105? Or
All but four. Oh. One of them is 126, but he has an extra big lot.
Okay.
And then three somehow are where they were last year, about 34,000, 35,000 for two of them and 43,000 for one. But the reality is, at least I feel in fairness, all apartment land should be, and this is apartment land. Yes, you can build a condo on there or a town. So we're right next door also to a town or a condominium unit built by the same builder. 1 foot larger in width, they're 24 feet wide. Much nicer. You know, we were the first project he built, and we have some problems with it.
Now, are you comparing it to raw land, I mean unbuilt land, or are you comparing it to...
Well, the assessor has decided so much for the building.
No, I understand that, but I mean, are you comparing the price when you say it should all be the same? Are you comparing it to undeveloped R18 land?
Well, R18 land should all be assessed the same. Well,
not necessarily, because if you develop it, you get sewer, water, and all that stuff that's brought into the property, and that all adds to the value of the property itself, not to the structure.
Well, they raw land in an apartment complex, there's going to be an assessment of the land value and an assessment of the property.
I understand you're not listening. If you have developed property, you have an apartment on it, you brought electricity into that property, and you brought water into that property, and you brought sewer into that property, so it is developed land. Okay. Whereas one that's just R18 is a chunk of land, does not have all it. They have it to the street, but not in the property developed. They generally record that as part of the value of the land.
Well, those apartments that are built are similar to my townhouse development. But in this case, unbeknownst to most of us that bought in here, I didn't find this out till later, the city and the builder made a nice sweetheart deal for themselves. The city got rid of any liability for maintaining the roads or any break of the sewer line, the water line. That was all of a sudden sloughed onto the townhouse owners. So the city and the builder made out because he got rid of the liability and he's basically passed it on. Land is land. I mean, you can't build anything without having land underneath it. Whether it's a townhouse project like this, because we have 20 units that make up our little community, and those 20 units are very tiny lots.
I'm a little confused because it's very common for a condo association to assume liability. Everything within their boundary is supported by them.
We're not a condominium. We're a townhome. That's your to us.
You're part of an association that maintains the property around you.
There's a difference.
There's common property around you.
No, there's not one square inch of common property in our whole development. Is townhomes. Each home is a platted lot. I own my lot.
Right.
I own my roof. A condominium is basically a method of ownership where basically you only own the inside of the building.
Right.
And the association in common owns all of the land. But the land is still...
You don't have a clubhouse or anything?
No.
And then your town has it.
The change in these things with all of this value, and you're looking at the land value, I'm looking at these, the overall total value of each unit made only a small amount of change. They just reallocated more value to the land and less value to the buildings on each one of these. And like the guy that you were saying is at 34 yet, their building is at 219, their land is at 34.4 for a total of, what is it, 253, whereas last year they were at 170,000. So looks like it was more of an allocation back and forth than it is an actual, I can't explain it, but I mean it doesn't look like they did an overall huge change.
Well, the reality in my opinion, again, it's, you know, everybody has their idea. Nobody would pay $105,000 for that scrawny, skinny lot, number one. But number two, my home at the assessor's value, the $116 a square foot for my, excuse me, just under 1,500 square foot townhome, that's a fair price. You can build brand new for about 140 to 150 today. So if you have a lot, bring a builder in, you can build a pretty nice house for two and three story houses are cheaper to build than ranch because you have less piping and electricity and so on, length. But the reality is I'm not arguing against the land, my apartment or my townhome value per square foot. I've got an almost 20-year-old roof, almost 20-year-old piping. I mean, the whole thing is, as homes age, they do get aches and pains, and they need to be maintained. So I'm not arguing on the total value of the improvements, just on the land value. And the land, again, I think that all our 18 land should be the same price throughout the county.
I guess I'm just thinking that when they're doing the valuation, it's a total value, land and buildings.
Yeah, we look at
and then
primarily total
back.
Value.
Well,
total value of the property.
Yeah.
But if it isn't in this group, it's going to be in this group. If you add the ag, if something is out of whack, if the $105,000 is out of whack, which you may not believe, but I do, and the price of the improvements on it is fairly valued, then that means the assessor is overvaluing all these properties.
You're saying they're the same value as his, right?
Yeah. And but there's only three of them that, and even looking at that, their total value combined is, they all seem to, I'm not disagreeing with what you say, but if you looked at just the final value for each property,
the sum total, right?
Then they're really all grouped together. I don't think you could buy a lot anywhere for $35,000.
Apartment house? Apartment
That's right. You cannot do it.
Well, probably about 50 now, I think.
Maybe add like another 100 to that. So.
Oh, no, apartments couldn't afford it. They wouldn't build it.
Yeah,
But keep in mind, when an apartment builder does build, or a condominium, when they do buy the land, they have to bring in the roads, they have to bring in the infrastructure, the underground water, the sewer, and so on. That is no expense out of the taxpayers, and there's no liability in the apartment.
Because I live in a condo, too, and I've got the very same thing. I have to maintain the streets, the sewer, the whole thing.
But that's a condo. I'm not a condominium.
My question is, why would they raise some of them and then leave four of them or three of them?
Three of them. That was another thing.
It's just an allocation.
Three lines, so.
Well, it's,
you know. Whatever happens, it happens to them. But yeah, you get the bill.
The reality of life, we don't may or may not like it, doesn't matter, is we all that own homes, we all subsidize commercial properties. If you ever look at the value of the land underneath a building like a Fred Meyer or a shopping center or whatever, they pay far, far less than residential. Why is that the case? Home doesn't make you any money. That's where you raise your family and live. A building, a business, a shopping center, whatever, does make money, and yet we, end up subsidizing them. And to do that, they have to reallocate. And the reason that our homes will sell for more than they are is because largely the government pushes the value of your home up. You have no choice. Once you own the home, you own it. Yeah. It's kind of like once you get the flu, you got the flu.
Well, the assessed value is based on sales of similar property, so it's the fair market value.
I agree with that. That's very fair.
So it's not the government pushing the value up, it's the people who buy them.
Well, no, it is the government, because the government raises the taxes, and then the homeowner says, the assessor has my home at $250,000, therefore it's at least worth that, and it's supply and demand. The builders, are any of you builders? The kiss of death is building more houses than can be absorbed. For a while, the prices of homes here in Clark County dramatically dropped, and it wasn't because people didn't want to move to the area, it's because the economy went in the tank.
Right.
And when the economy goes...
That's the free market system.
It is. But it's also works in reverse against the homeowner, because if there are a few homes to buy, people, if they want to live in that neighborhood, will buy into it. And that's
the free market system.
That's true. But government isn't free market.
The government's not forcing that. They're not forcing you to buy anything.
Well, anyway, we're getting, I guess, off the trail. Nobody would pay $105,000 for a 23-foot wide, 140-foot...
If it's the only place in town to live, they might pay that.
Well...
Supply and demand.
Well, I agree with the supply and demand. It's the nature of the beast. Anyway, I thank you very much for
thank you.
Your time. And I wish I had some...
Nice picture.
Yeah, off of my iPhone.
Take it with your phone.
Yeah, and they would have looked nicer if I would have wanted to pay for. Not that I'm trying to cheapen up my presentation, but there's if I would have put them on glossy paper and boosted the number of bits and bytes or whatever. The file.
We're not worth it. Those pictures are fine for us.
Yeah, they are fine.
Don't waste glossy paper on
those. Anyway, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it very much. And drive safely going home. It'll probably be cool.
Closing.
This is a continuation of the December 2nd, 2019 hearings of the Clark County Board of Equalization. For the board at this point is property owned by Carol and Paul Taylor. Petition 19002401 for account 124817172. There's no one in attendance for the assessor's office. We have Carol Taylor in attendance.
Can you pull the file? I send it to you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've got it. We've got it printed out right here.
Okay. So it would really be better, you know.
We don't really don't need both.
Let's see. 20.
It helped me.
I want what's from you. Did you submit it with your petition? Oh, here it is. I bet that's it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay.
Okay, so we are here to appeal for this year's January value.
Mm-hmm. Has she been sworn in?
No,
not yet.
Okay.
Go ahead. Raise your right hand.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you give in this hearing will be the truth under penalty for perjury?
Yes.
Thank you. I have to remind you that we're independent from the assessor's office, and we're here to hear testimony and make a decision on the value of your property as of January 1st, 2019. Keep in mind the assessor has a presumption of correctness. You have to overcome that to prevail. Within 30 days after this hearing, you'll get a written response from this board as the outcome, and you have 30 days to appeal to the state. The assessor has that same 30 days to appeal if he doesn't like our decision. Mm-hmm. So unless you have questions, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you further explain your appeal.
Okay, sure. This is a copy from the property information county website. Mm-hmm. And essentially tell you this was the assessed, actually BOE agreed the value. And this is to assess the value. Today we are here to appeal this value. Okay, and this is just a repeat of, you know, what's on the website. Next slide.
You know that they offered you a reduction, right? You got
that? Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
Next page. Sorry. So this one is a summary of my appeal history. And this 3 years, and I went to Washington State. So different color. And this is 2 months ago I was here and received your decision for this, for last year, January. Okay? So I used this column and the last column, final value, or whatever determined on different level. And I draw a chart. Next slide. And this slide to show you, and this is assessor office assessed the value, how it changes over the years. And this is the final determined value. And those three was determined by Washington State. Okay, this is your 2 months determination. Next slide, please. And this is a three sold house I gave example. So essentially, you know, average 2005. This is average of for sold home, 2005. And the average of lot size, average of square foot, average of bathroom and bedroom. And this is the average sold price. And square footage is this price. Okay, and this is my home, and the comparison is very close. You know, the lot size, square foot for the building, and the bathroom, and also I used this $155 per square foot for my house, and the calculator come out to this price. Okay, next slide. So this is the number one home. What it look like, very nice. Second home. And the next one. Third house. Fourth house. This is fourth house. And the next one is my home. So I consider those four sold home. It's similar to my home. And there is no exactly same. Okay, so, but if you you know, look at the average, and you know, it looks similar based on my view. Next slide. Next slide, please. So essentially, and I just repeat what you saw, those four houses, and what's the average data from previous Excel file. And this is my home, and so it's very close. And I did check because assessor office always talking about what is the quality, what the rating is. So I tell you, number four house was rated very good, and my home was rated one level lower, so good plus. And lower than number four home, but higher than number one, two, three home. So those five house didn't rate slice differently. But even the rating, each assessor rating cannot be, you know, exactly control same standard. And so from my view, I said, you know, those four sold home are comparable to my home, and based on sold price, home data, and the pictures. So I used this average of four homes square footage and calculated my house value based on my square footage. And this is the outcome. Question to you is, can we agree on this price? Any questions for those slides data? And do you have any question for that?
No. The assessor had recommended a reduction to 588.
It's a I did receive that.
Just wanted to know that you got that.
Yes, I got that.
Okay, all right, that's good. Okay. I don't have any other questions on it.
I don't have any.
Okay, then that's good. So I leave you to make a decision.
Did you look at any of the houses that the assessor provided?
I didn't pay too much attention to what the assessor has.
Okay. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Close the hearing.